Well, good morning. It's a beautiful morning, actually. It's, what is it? 7:15 a.m. on Wednesday, April 29th. It's low 40s. 42, 45, somewhere in there. Official temperature is 36, but it's not that cold. It's beautiful. The sun's out, there's a lot of blue sky. Just a few clouds way off to the east. Some high thin clouds. It's gorgeous. Birds are singing. I've had my breakfast. This Jeep is going to let me go, so I will scoot. Got half the lawn mowed yesterday, got the other half done today. Spring is in flower here. Oh, here's the fence that was broken. The brickwork that's busted out. That's kind of a mess. It is. Shows how observant I was yesterday. I said, not. Yeah, it's cold enough my nose is running. Always a thrill. So, I don't know what I'm thinking about this morning. There's a lot going on. In my head. Thinking a lot about self-publishing. There's always new people coming into the self-publishing arena, and they all have the same set of sort of, I'm not going to say all of them have the same set, but there's a common set of misconceptions about self-publishing. The one that most traditional published authors have is that it's for people who can't cut it in tradpub, whose work isn't good enough to be published by New York. And while there's undoubtedly some truth to that, the reality is that's not where most self-publishers operate. It's certainly not where I operate. It's not that I can't. In fact, I've had offers. It's just that I can't afford to take the offers that they've given. For the amount of work and the amount of pay, it's not worth it to me to accept any of them. But you get a sense, the most difficult parts are the parts that even if I were published through New York, those are the parts I'd still have to do anyway. I'd still have to do the marketing. I'd still have to do the building of the customer base. All of that. So, the incremental work, producing the work, editing the work, cover art, layout, that's relatively minor. Of course, at this point, my marketing is also relatively minor. And I appreciate that I'm operating from a position of privilege. I'm selling as many books in a day as a lot of people are selling in a month, as even more people are selling in a year. So, yeah, I have a position of privilege that It's not completely unearned. It's one that I've spent years developing, starting in 2007 with Patio Books and growing the audience from there. Which just makes me remember that I still have books that need to be recorded. I have stories that need to be recorded. I have audio that I owe people. Which leads me to think of, because it's a negative thought, it leads me back to Dan Pink's book, To Sell as Human. Now, I can't remember who put me onto that. I think it was Anita Lewis. I apologize, Anita, if it wasn't, but I think it was Anita Lewis who put me onto that book. It's an interesting book. For me, it's not as interesting as Quiet, the Susan Cain book about introversion. According to Pink, I'm not an introvert. I'm actually an ambivert. I'm neither extroverted nor introverted. Although I'm slightly skeptical because his instrumentation is, or the interpretation of his instrumentation is really the key. He doesn't actually tell you what your raw scores are. Yes, leave. Get out of the way. I don't know why this intersection is always so difficult. But there's a lot about being an introvert that explains what's going on in my life right at the moment in terms of being overdrawn. An introvert on overload. And maybe I'm just making excuses. Maybe I'm just being a scapegoat. Maybe I'm just scapegoating the introversion. But the idea of restorative niches, the idea of a free trade agreement where I make myself do something that is not comfortable with the promise that I will do something that is restorative in response. So I don't know, I'm still sort of sorting through a lot of this stuff. But Pink's book, To Sell as Human, is an examination of the current state of industry in the U.S., where the role of the salesman is no longer as cut and dried as it might have been in the past. The idea that if you're a salesman, you're not something else. And the case that he makes is that perhaps everybody, is engaged in trying to persuade other people to do something. Now, you don't have to persuade somebody to do something that they want to do, so clearly this is persuading them to do something that you want them to do. And the fastest growing segment in the U.S. economy is what he calls Med-Ed. Or EdMed, Education and Medical, where teachers in education are trying to convince students to give up something, attention, effort, time, to do what the teacher wants them to do, that is, learn something. And in theory, it's something that will benefit the student later. That there is actually a, I'm not going to say altruistic, because if it was completely altruistic, then teachers wouldn't need to get paid, and teachers clearly need to get paid. But there is this reality that what teachers teach is theoretically of benefit to the student. Okay, which way are we going to go with these dogs? Come on, post. Okay, out on the grass, good enough. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. So, yeah, teachers are involved in selling. They're involved in moving people from one condition, one state, to another. And getting them to understand why it's beneficial for them to make that move. And the other one is medical, where medical practitioners are trying to get people to do things that will be helpful to them in maintaining and repairing their health. So it's an interesting idea that what we do as humans is largely sales, selling. If we expand the definition of selling to moving people to give up something in exchange for whatever it is you're offering. For me, I'm trying to sell myself on this walk. This walk does help. I've noticed that I've improved just since yesterday with the walking. I've been doing more walking. It's still not as regular as I'd like. I still missed 3 days in the last 7. So, yeah, that's not great. But with the weather getting better, with the summer coming around, I have a few more weeks of school where I've got the 7 a.m. wake up to get the kid to school and then take the walk before I take my shoes off. When summer starts, I'll have to put my shoes on and go out for the walk without any other kind of dynamic. So that'll be the real proof. Can I do it then? And I think probably I've had really good luck with summers, so... Oh, here's the school bus. Must be earlier this morning than I thought. Now the question is, did I actually start the recorder? It says I did. Okay, good enough. So, yeah. Trying to get my structure back. Trying to get my ADHD under control, trying to get my introversion recharged, repaired. Finding ways to make that happen. kinds of heavy trucks here this morning. Trash guys. I must be very early this morning compared to where I have been in the past. That's interesting. I didn't think I was that early because we were late getting the kid to school. It's ACT week. So schedules are all kind of crazed. She had some of the ACT yesterday. I think she's got more of it this week. I don't know. Apparently, it might be regular classes for the rest of the week because now the sophomores have to do some testing or something. I don't know. Anyway, she did her ACTs yesterday. She was very upset Monday night because she took some of the practice tests and was getting 40%. It's like, really? So it's like, yeah, okay, I understand you're upset, but practice tests are not the test. I'm half convinced that the ACT prep tests are to scare you enough to pay attention to the ACT. That's the other interesting thing, is that I'm not, having gone all the way through PhD, talk about EdMed and the relative value of education. Education is valuable. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't be able to be an author if I didn't have my PhD. I'm pretty much convinced of that. The fact that the PhD is not in literature or something, notwithstanding the knowledge that I can write a 400-page book, means that, yeah, I can do this. I just need to pay attention to the form. I need to pay attention to the story. I need to put my butt in the chair and type some words. Which sounds simple enough until you try to do it for day after day. Until you try to have enough focus to be able to do it. And if I hadn't been involved in educational technology, I wouldn't have discovered podcasting, so I would never have, well, probably wouldn't have, I might have. And I wouldn't have participated in audiobooks, which started a whole ball rolling. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. So anyway, yeah, it's education. The certification is not as valuable. The idea of a college education, of getting a degree as some sort of guarantee against unemployment is at best misguided. It's dated. It used to be. It used to be the case. I had to get a degree so that I could get a job. In fact, that the job I have now doesn't require me to have a degree, notwithstanding, if I was in the job market right now, I'd have a difficult time trying to find a job because I'm overqualified for most of the jobs that are available. And most of the jobs that are available don't pay what I'd need to have, so that's kind of a problem. Not just for me, but for the country as a whole. At any rate, ramble, ramble, ramble. I am back at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day.